Chad Dalsham from Spacebase, a social enterprise focused on catalyzing the space entrepreneurial ecosystem starting in New Zealand to solve challenges on Earth and beyond. You're listening to the Spacebase podcast. Today I'm interviewing Mark Rocket. Mark is the founder and CEO of Kia Aerospace, developing a solar-powered unmanned aircraft that will fly continuously in the stratosphere for months at a time to collect frequent high-resolution aerial images. He also co-founded Rocket Lab and the executive director of Aerospace Christchurch, a group and organizations that want to grow the economic wealth and aerospace capability of Christchurch. Mark is also the very first Kiwi to hold a suborbital flight ticket on Virgin Galactic, and he's just waiting for his turn to fly in space. In this interview, we're going to ask him about his journey from software guru to one of the most prominent space innovators in New Zealand. Welcome, Mark.
Hello.
Thank you again for agreeing to be on the podcast. And so I normally start and ask, like, where are you from New Zealand?
Yeah, I'm a Cantabrian, basically raised not too far away from here.
Oh, wow. So which is kind of like why you're so passionate about Christchurch, I see.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I think when I was growing up, I didn't fully appreciate all the things that Christchurch could offer and wanted to grab my backpack and get out of here pretty quick when I was young and see the world. And I think sometimes you've got to go out there and explore part of the universe to come back to fully appreciate, you know, what's here. And yeah, and I think also, you know, Christchurch has really blossomed in many areas compared to when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s. So yeah, it's a really great place to be located and raise a family and do cool stuff.
Yeah, so growing up, what did you want to be when you were growing up? And because, like, I just wanted to see how it reflects from when you started and where you are now.
I don't know if I had a real clear picture, but I was always fascinated by space technology and space travel and astronauts and the solar system. So yeah, I love space Lego and reading books and films. So yeah, I guess sci-fi was something I was quite interested in when I was young. And, you know, just sort of adventurous kind of stuff, traveling. You know, I didn't kind of have any kind of firm vision for where I was heading early on.
And what did you start off studying when you were young?
Yeah, just the sort of generic vanilla kind of high school kind of stuff. Although in the last year of high school, I ended up getting into drama and dance.
Oh, wow.
Which sort of surprised a lot of people because it sort of came out of nowhere. And yeah, that was actually a lot of fun.
And you, did you go and perform in plays? And like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We need to dig that up. Maybe there's like more info on there. So your first career was more in the internet industry. Is that correct?
Internet marketing.
Yeah. Tell me how you ended up there in the first place.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I went backpacking around the world, mainly around Europe and a bit of Australia. And came back to New Zealand in 1994, and I was actually in a rock and roll band, doing a bit of music kind of stuff, and taking it really easy for all, just sort of focusing on the music. And then at a certain point, I managed to find a job in an office of one of the first internet companies here in Christchurch. So it was really, really lucky at the time. There was a thing called Task Force Green, so they basically helped people get into new sort of areas, and I got a bit of training and help in that initially. So I was just really lucky that I was eligible for that program and basically got my first job in an office and became the sort of front of house sort of person that helped people get hooked up to internet, to show them about the World Wide Web and all that kind of cool stuff. And then I sort of got more into the internet marketing side of things, you know, setting up websites and helping people get found on search engines. And then in 1998, I left that company, and it was actually called Planet Canterbury, that company. Mm. Actually, left that company and set up Avatar, which is a web design marketing company, and that basically helps people to, you know, get better results online, drive more traffic, do more conversions, and also set up a company called New Zealand Tourism Online with a couple of other business partners. And that grew to being the number one commercial tourism directory in New Zealand, tourism.net.nz.
Wow.
And we won 5 New Zealand Tourism Awards, and we're in the Fast 50 Moving Companies for 3 years in a row. And yeah, it was just a great, great team and great project to be involved with. And then Telecom Yellow Pages actually contacted us and said, hey, we want to buy your company. And so we basically sold it in 2006. And Avatar is still tracking along doing internet marketing, but I've sort of pulled back from operations on that, but have a great team there at Avatar. But yeah, basically in 2006, sort of put a bit of gas in the tank and I thought, hey, what do I want to do now? And yeah, back in 2000, actually, I did a sort of life planning day with a program that I was involved with for business planning, et cetera.
Hmm.
And back in 2000, I wrote down one day I'd like to go to space, which seemed pretty crazy at the time because I didn't have much money and there weren't any tickets that you could buy to go to space. So yeah, in 2006, when I had a bit of gas in the tank, I saw that Virgin Galactic were promoting their new tickets. And I thought, that sounds amazing. I'd love to do that. And yeah, been basically signed up ever since.
So can you tell us more about like that process of signing up for a space ticket?
Yeah, well, just went to virgingalactic.com, entered the form, clicked submit, and then that night someone from the UK gave me a call and said, hey, would you like to find out more about it? And yeah, they just told me more about the flight profile and the technology and what they're doing, and it just sounded pretty cool. And also just wanted to support the technology. You know, I knew that it wasn't going to happen quickly. Didn't think it was going to happen quite so slow a pace that it's been. But yeah, I mean, back then they were sort of targeting, you know, 2011, 2012 as kind of a flight date. Here we are into 2021. And
yeah, but Sir Richard Branson went up this year.
He went up this year. That's a fantastic milestone.
So do you know when or potentially you'll be on the next flights?
Well, maybe next year. Could look like things are on target. But, you know, we'll see. There's been a few delays, so don't want to get my hopes up. But, you know, next year does sound promising.
Yeah. And what type of, like, either training or preparation have you done so far or are going to do before your flight?
Yeah, I went to America. I think it was Philadelphia. They had
the NAS Star.
Yeah, NAS Star. Yeah, so I went on the centrifuge. Have you done that as well?
Not the centrifuge, but I definitely was in touch with the center before because I was working on another program.
Mm.
Yeah,
so got up to about 6 Gs there and they sort of replicated some of the aspects of the flight profile for Virgin Galactic. So that was a lot of fun. So yeah, besides that, I mean, really, they just want to make sure you're in, you know, okay physical health and there's not much that you have to do for flight readiness.
Mm-hmm.
But that few days before your flight, they'll give you training at that point, and you know, obviously that'll be targeted exactly what you need to know.
Yeah, and would that training be like in New Mexico where they're going to be flying?
Yes, Spaceport America, yeah.
Yep. Just like thinking about if it happens like in next year, what would you be doing during your flight? I know that there's only a few minutes that you're kind of really up in space. What would be your main focus, for example, of the experience?
Yeah, I think being able to experience zero G obviously would be, you know, pretty incredible. Doing a few tumbles and Superman maneuvers, and yeah, just really appreciating, you know, looking out, seeing the planet, and I just think it'll be an incredibly profound experience.
Wow. I think New Zealand would be looking forward for the first Kiwi to actually go up in space, so we're rooting for you.
Yeah, well, it might be a year or two away yet, but I'm hoping Virgin Galactic have a clear run from here and things go well.
Yeah, so you mentioned that it's kind of like 2006 was the turning point for you.
Yeah.
And my understanding is also that's the same year that you got connected with like Rocket Lab founding and Peter Beck.
Yeah, so at that first Virgin Galactic event in LA, it was actually held at the same time as the International Space Development Conference. And I saw Elon Musk talking and a whole bunch of other people talking about this emerging private space industry. And I got really excited about it. But I remember seeing this map of the world with all this sort of launch activity and stuff that's going on. And I noticed that the Southern Hemisphere had not much going on. And I thought there must be some way for New Zealand to be able to participate in this emerging industry. So I came back and I was talking on the radio about Virgin Galactic and, you know, wanting to see a space industry emerge in New Zealand. Someone heard about that and told Peter Beck, and Peter gave me a call and said, hey, I've got this idea for a rocket company. And we met up and started talking about it. And then 2007, we started commercial operations of Rocket Lab.
And if you can just like give us a little bit more of an understanding of how Rocket Lab got started, just an understanding of how a rocket company has actually started in New Zealand, like kind of like out of nowhere, and then now being very successful today.
Yeah, so back then Peter had another job working somewhere, but in the weekends and evenings, et cetera, he'd be working on his rocket projects, and yeah, was looking for someone to kind of support the concept for Rocket Lab. And 2007, essentially, I put investment into the company and we became 50-50 business partners, and I sort of brought my business experience and contacts, et cetera. And yeah, Peter obviously is an incredibly smart guy with a great technological understanding and vision. And yeah, we were kind of aligned with really wanting to see a space company develop in New Zealand. I mean, people thought we were a little bit nuts when we kicked off, and they thought, you know, why do this in New Zealand when it's, you know, really the USA and Russia and, you know, much larger countries had very large budgets for aerospace for this development. So how could New Zealand realistically add any value to that? So yeah, there's certainly people were asking some of those questions, you know, and obviously it's sort of proven that, you know, we can actually do things here in New Zealand. You know, you get a blank piece of paper and you look at things from a different perspective, and it actually does help create opportunities.
Like, how did you find the people that eventually become employees of Rocket Lab? Because was internally, were there already people with the talent and experience to kind of like work on rocketry here in New Zealand when you got started? Or is it really, you know, you started from scratch and basically just went that way, and the experience and the know-how kind of like developed from that?
Yeah, well, when people started hearing about us, you know, they would get in contact and say, hey, I can do this and I can do that. And, you know, we had different contractors and different people doing different parts of the project. And, you know, some of those people are still there at Rocket Lab now. So, yeah, it's fantastic that we did have a bunch of really enthusiastic people that wanted to support the company, and they loved the concept. But, you know, obviously these other people thought, you know, realistically, how is this going to get off the ground? You know, it's rocket science, right? It's hard. So yeah, it all came down to trying to put our first technology demonstrator into space, and I think it was around November 2009 we did our first launch from Great Mercury Island, and there was a lot riding on that day. If things were to go wrong, that it was going to be a tough result after that. But to see that rocket launch and be so successful, and we recovered the first stage and validated a lot of the technology that we're working on, and from there we won contracts with various places.
Yeah, fascinating. So you talked about success, and like outside of New Zealand, actually, I actually think the world probably knows Rocket Lab more outside than in New Zealand. And I wanted to get your opinion on why do you think Rocket Lab is so successful compared to like the 150 other launch companies right now that are trying to basically mimic what they're trying to do today. What's the secret sauce of being in New Zealand and creating kind of like that environment for a company like Rocket Lab to be successful?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Emmeline. I think there are many different factors to it. And I think timing is everything. You know, you can be a year or two too late in certain areas. Obviously, you need to have that bold vision and have the right plan for that time. So I think the concept for the company was great. We had to be flexible along the way and change some of what we're doing. And, you know, being able to do that is important as well. And obviously building the right team. And, yeah, obviously Peter, you know, brought a huge amount of technical acumen to deploy in the area. And, you know, you need that of that person to really drive things along, and you're really working through a whole lot of unknowns. So you need to be able to problem solve and react and move swiftly and not get kind of stuck on different hurdles, you know, basically problem solving.
Yeah.
And I think New Zealanders are really good at, you know, being able to do that. We are often sort of thinking a little bit out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
We have less resources, so we have to think. So that kind of approach, I think, really helps us.
Yeah, I actually think that the combination of innovation and ingenuity, which relies a lot on kind of like constraints, allows Kiwis more to think outside of the box.
Mm.
as compared to like other places where it's just innovation and you've got like plenty of like resources. I think that that's a little bit kind of like why there's a lot of disruptive like tech or innovation that's happening, I think, right now.
And I think also, you know, New Zealand can be a really nurturing environment. You see it with Aerospace Christchurch. You come along to our meet at CMLE and you know, there's so much excitement, enthusiasm, support and passion. You know, people really want to help each other. And I think that's an integral part of, you know, a lot of the entrepreneurial success that we have, is that we work together, we want to support each other, and, you know, that enthusiasm, it goes a long way.
Yeah, so that leads to the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, is that you're currently the president of Aerospace Christchurch. Can you give us a little bit more, or at least the audience, a little bit more of background and information about the actual group and what's happening, like how can people get involved, what do you support?
Yeah, well, maybe I should continue on the timeline a little bit.
Yes.
To fill in the gap. So, yeah, 2011, I decided to step back from Rocket Lab. I had a few other projects going on and a few other things. And so, yeah, essentially, I had a young family and we had earthquakes and all that kind of stuff happening as well. So it was a good time just to take a few years, and I still had Avatar ticking along and doing stuff. But, yeah, then around sort of 2017, I started thinking about getting involved with the aerospace industry again, and really sort of came up with two ideas. One was to help build an ecosystem, an aerospace ecosystem, and yeah, kind of bugged me a little bit that we've got the University of Canterbury that are pumping out really great graduates, and a lot of them would have to go off to Auckland to work at Rocket Lab or go offshore, and you know, there's all sorts of different specialties they have there, from guidance, navigation, control to, you know, all sorts of interesting people that are coming out of Canterbury, and they had really no jobs for them to go to here. So that kind of bugged me a little bit. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to, you know, see if we could help build some sort of ecosystem. So I started connecting with other people interested in aerospace. And the second idea I had was to try and find some super cool project, another aerospace project that I could get behind and support. And so really, Care Aerospace sort of came out of those sort of two core ideas. And yeah, met Philip Saltrop, and he came on board with me with Kia with the idea of building the stratospheric vehicle, which we can talk a bit about later. And also, you know, these people that I was talking to, we sort of merged into this sort of conglomerate of different people that established the Christchurch Aerospace Centre, which is now Aerospace Christchurch.
Mm-hmm.
And we started these meetups, and just people started to cross-pollinate, and we came up with the idea of developing a strategy for Christchurch, and that instigated the New Zealand Space Agency putting funding into that strategy. So now Christchurch is the first place to get aerospace strategy. And I think that really helped to get key stakeholders together and clarify a future pathway, and really get people to understand the unique selling proposition that Canterbury has as a venue to do aerospace projects. You know, with our variable terrain and open skies and university graduates and, you know, second largest manufacturing hubs, international ports, and sort of the idea sort of evolved into, you know, we're a gateway to the Antarctic,
mm-hmm.
which is just an extreme environment. Why not be a gateway to space? So we come up with the idea with Spaceport 2030, you know, where we do have hundreds of aerospace jobs, you know, thousands of aerospace jobs, and, you know, many companies operating from here by the end of the decade.
Yeah, and so, what kind of activities the Christchurch Aerospace does today?
Yeah, so we work with a variety of different stakeholders, but essentially looking at that aerospace sector plan, that strategy, we look at undertaking those things. So, yeah, looking at building infrastructure and supporting initiatives. So you've heard about Project Te Whaki out at Kaitiriti, where there's essentially a test area that's been established there for aerospace projects and other projects. And we've got the inaugural New Zealand Aerospace Summit coming up February 21. So that's going to be a fantastic event where we bring all of the New Zealand's key aerospace participants together for the first time. Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of initiatives that we're working on. So if you check out christchurch.space, you'll see a bit more of what we do. But you know, we're really about supporting individual aerospace participants and the wider aerospace industry.
Yeah, and just maybe to add that you do meetups as well, like every, I think, is it monthly or every
6-8 weeks? It just sort of depends on what's going on. And And also we want to be, you know, the idea was to kind of get things rolling here in Canterbury and then also spread out to other cities and work with, you know, the unique selling propositions that each area has in New Zealand. So
yeah, and just to note that the meetups are also available online if you're not in Christchurch.
Yeah, and we have people coming to us from Auckland and Invercargill and giving talks, and so we've got that national stuff going on, but we would like to sort of really develop meetups in different locations and help that cross-pollination.
Yeah. Awesome. And there was also a mentorship program.
That was very successful. We got a lot of really great feedback from people that were wanting to enter the aerospace industry, and mentors were industry participants, and they really enjoyed it as well. We got really good feedback about that, so really pleased with how that ran.
Are you going to do that again?
Believe so, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. Mm. So, you mentioned as well your project, which is Kia Aerospace. Can you give a little bit of an understanding for the audience, what your goals are for Kia?
Yeah, well, essentially, we're developing this technology platform that is flying in the stratosphere. And when you think about it, you know, you've got satellites that are, 350 or so kilometres altitude, and then you've got manned aircraft that are sort of flying, or unmanned aircraft that tend to be flying, lower, but there's sort of a big gap in the middle, between. So if you've got a commercial flight, you might be flying at, 12, up to 12 kilometres altitude, but sort of above that, there's not actually too much activity going on in the atmosphere. But as it works out, the stratosphere, you can be above the jet streams and above the weather, and if you can develop a solar-powered vehicle that can stay up there for months at a time, then it's a really great platform where you can get high-resolution imagery, broad coverage, and much more frequent updates that you can from the satellites and aircraft for taking aerial imagery. So as well as Earth observation, there's also payload testing, and you can take samples in the upper atmosphere, and telecommunications is also another use for that platform. So there's already been a few projects that have flown solar-powered vehicles in the stratosphere, but no one's actually managed to develop a sort of consistent vehicle that can continually fly. So that's all going to be happening in the next 5 years, and we want to be one of those companies.
That's awesome. So do you have a timeline for Kia for commercialization?
Yeah, we're flying a whole bunch of smaller vehicles at the moment at lower altitudes, and doing a bunch of other stuff. But 2023 is when we're targeting our first stratospheric flight.
That's great. So one of the things is, because you are operating in the stratosphere, does it make any difference, or is it much of an advantage to specifically for Kia to be in New Zealand because of the New Zealand Space Agency created the Outer Space and High Altitude Activities Act of 2017, which didn't exist in the past, which I think is a great template even for the global kind of community to potentially adapt, because prior to that there actually was no regulations in the stratosphere. Does that make it better or easier for you because that is in place here in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think the government is doing a good job of supporting a lot of aerospace projects, and that they really want to get behind innovation. So we are one of the companies involved with the airspace integration trials, which is a program run by MBE, and essentially it does what it says on the tin, where it looks at helping to integrate new technology into the airspace. So I think there's initiatives like that really, really help aerospace projects to sort of work with the agencies that you need to work with to try and make things happen. And there's a lot of new technology that is moving pretty quickly. So trying to capitalize that on that as quickly as we can, I think, is really crucial. Obviously, in the last year or two, it hasn't been easy with other worldwide epidemics, etc., going on. But I think, we have a great opportunity in New Zealand to move quickly on this aerospace technology. And, going back to the summit, our theme there is to build an aerospace nation. How can we do that? What do we need to do? What are the bits of the puzzle that we need to put together to make that happen? And I think, being able to move quickly, have support from the agencies that need to help make it happen, and really try and help nurture that innovation.
Yeah, no, that's great. And in terms of scaling Kia, do you find that you can find sort of the like the talent and the experience like today scaling the company, or is that still a challenge in terms of kind of where New Zealand is today?
Yeah, well, this year has been a big challenge, obviously, with MIQ and trying to get people through. So there were a few people that we wanted to bring from offshore into New Zealand. But yeah, we were really lucky that we managed to find all the people that we needed with the expertise that we needed to get the project done. So yeah, in the last sort of 4 or 5 months, we've built the team to nearly 20 people, and we've got a fantastic team with a great skill set. So yeah, it's an exciting time for us.
Yeah, well, I think it's an exciting time for New Zealand as well. So just thinking about New Zealand's future for the aerospace industry, where do you see New Zealand like maybe in 5 or 10 years time?
Yeah, well, I'd love to see like 10 rocket labs. And what would New Zealand look like then? It'd be incredible. So developing that pathway where that can happen. So I sort of see three main opportunities. One is to attract international or national projects to get underway, and again give them the support that they need to enable them to make it happen quickly. Secondly, you'll get other existing companies that will want to pivot into aerospace, and so they already might be working on a related sort of technology, and they want to move that into aerospace applications. And thirdly, and one that I'm particularly excited about, is supporting the people that are coming out with new ideas. They could be graduates from university, or people like Peter just working in the garage at home in the weekend, help them to develop a template to make their aerospace project successful.
Oh, that's awesome. So that actually is a great segue to my last set of questions, which is like really your recommendations to anybody who is listening here, or especially to Kiwis who are interested in space but just don't know exactly where to kind of like start. So do you have any go-to either resources, either websites, books, people that you follow, or anything that you might be able to recommend that anybody who's interested in aerospace should check out?
I don't know. I'm reading stuff all the time, online, podcasts. I think, basically making sure that you keep up to date, keep informed. There's so much cool material out there now. So just, get into stuff that inspires you and interests you. I love reading biographies and hearing about different people's journeys and how they did it.
Who's your favorite hero or like person that you aspire to in the industry?
I don't know. I think there's all sorts of interesting personalities. There's people that are very successful, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you want to aspire to be them.
Right.
I think you can learn lessons from all sorts of interesting people. So, I think, keeping up to date on what's going on. But I think also just the key advice would be, connect with people. If you want to get into a certain area, then, let's do a coffee, or, get in touch with people. And, here in Christchurch, as we mentioned, we've got these meetups. Mm-hmm. And it's a fantastic place to just come along and talk to so many different people from diverse fields of aerospace. Yeah, I think if you are interested, definitely join online or come to one of the meetups and you'll meet interesting people.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks, Mark, for sharing your experience and insights to the New Zealand space community and beyond. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you like Spacebase's work and would like to support us, please check us out on spacebase.co. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.